Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 5, Consecration. God's promise is, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The whole heart must be yielded to God, or the change can never be wrought in us by which we are to be restored to his likeness. By nature, we are alienated from God. The Holy Spirit describes our condition in such words as these, dead in trespasses and sins. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint, no soundness in it. We are held fast in the snare of Satan, taken captive by him at his will. God desires to heal us, to set us free. But since this requires an entire transformation, a renewing of our whole nature, we must yield ourselves wholly to him. The warfare against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. The yielding of self, surrendering all to the will of God, requires a struggle, but the soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in holiness. The government of God is not, as Satan would make it appear, founded upon a blind submission and unreasoning control. It appeals to the intellect and the conscience. Come now and let us reason together is the Creator's invitation to the beings he has made. God does not force the will of his creatures. He cannot accept an homage that is not willingly and intelligently given. A mere forced submission would prevent all real development of mind or character. It would make man a mere automaton. Such is not the purpose of the Creator. He desires that man, the crowning work of his creative power, shall reach the highest possible development. He sets before us the height of blessing, to which he desires to bring us through his grace. He invites us to give ourselves to him, that he may work his will in us. It remains for us to choose whether we will be set free from the bondage of sin, to share the glorious liberty of the sons of God. In giving ourselves to God, we must necessarily give up all that would separate us from him. Hence the Savior says, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Whatever shall draw away the heart from God must be given up. Mammon is the idol of many. The love of money, the desire for wealth, is a golden chain that binds them to Satan. Reputation and worldly honor are worshipped by another class. The life of selfish ease and freedom from responsibility is the idol of others. But these slavish bands must be broken. We cannot be half the Lord's and half the world's. We are not God's children unless we are such entirely. There are those who profess to serve God while they rely upon their own efforts to obey his law, to form a right character and secure salvation. Their hearts are not moved by any deep sense of the love of Christ, but they seek to perform the duties of the Christian life as that which God requires of them in order to gain heaven. Such religion is worth nothing. When Christ dwells in the heart, the soul will be so filled with his love, with the joy of communion with him, that it will cleave to him, and in the contemplation of him, self will be forgotten. Love to Christ will be the spring of action. Those who feel the constraining love of God do not ask how little may be given to meet the requirements of God. They do not ask for the lowest standard, but aim at perfect conformity to the will of their Redeemer. With earnest desire, they yield all and manifest an interest proportionate to the value of the object which they seek. A profession of Christ without this deep love is mere talk, dry formality, and heavy drudgery. Do you feel that it is too great a sacrifice to yield all to Christ? Ask yourself the question, what has Christ given for me? The Son of God gave all, life and love and suffering, for our redemption. And can it be that we, the unworthy objects of so great love, will withhold our hearts from Him? Every moment of our lives we have been partakers of the blessings of His grace, and for this very reason we cannot fully realize the depths of ignorance and misery from which we have been saved. Can we look upon Him whom our sins have pierced, and yet be willing to do despot to all His love and sacrifice? In view of the infinite humiliation of the Lord of glory, shall we murmur because we can enter into life only through conflict and abasement? The inquiry of many a proud heart is, why need I go in penitence and humiliation before I can have the assurance of my acceptance with God? I point you to Christ. He was sinless, and more than this, He was the Prince of Heaven. But in man's behalf, He became sin for the race. He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. But what do we give up when we give all? A sin-polluted heart for Jesus to purify, to cleanse by His own blood and save by His matchless love. And yet men think it hard to give up all. I am ashamed to hear it spoken of, ashamed to write it. God does not require us to give up anything that is for our best interest to retain. In all that He does, He has the well-being of His children in view. Would that all who have not chosen Christ might realize that He has something vastly better to offer them than they are seeking for themselves. Man is doing the greatest injury and injustice to his own soul when he thinks and acts contrary to the will of God. No real joy can be found in the path forbidden by Him who knows what is best and who plans for the good of His creatures. The path of transgression is a path of misery and destruction. It is a mistake to entertain the thought that God is pleased to see His children suffer. All heaven is interested in the happiness of man. Our Heavenly Father does not close the avenues of joy to any of His creatures. The divine requirements call upon us to shun those indulgences that would bring suffering and disappointment, that would close to us the door of happiness in heaven. The world's Redeemer accepts men as they are, with all their wants, imperfections, and weaknesses, and He will not only cleanse from sin and grant redemption through His blood, but will satisfy the heart longing of all who consent to wear His yoke, to bear His burden. It is His purpose to impart peace and rest to all who come to Him for the bread of life. He requires us to perform only those duties that will lead our steps to heights of bliss to which the disobedient can never attain. The true joyous life of the soul is to have Christ formed within, the hope of glory. Many are inquiring, how am I to make the surrender of myself to God? You desire to give yourself to Him, but you are weak in moral power, in slavery to doubt, and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. You cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, your affections. The knowledge of your broken promises and forfeited pledges weakens your confidence in your own sincerity and causes you to feel that God cannot accept you. But you need not despair. What you need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. The power of choice God has given to men, it is theirs to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God its affections. But you can choose to serve Him. You can give Him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Thus your whole nature will be brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. Your affections will be centered upon Him. Your thoughts will be in harmony with Him. Desires for goodness and holiness are right as far as they go, but if you stop here, they will avail nothing. Many will be lost while hoping and desiring to be Christians. They do not come to the point of yielding the will to God. They do not now choose to be Christians. Through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in your life. By yielding up your will to Christ, you ally yourself with the power that is above all principalities and powers. You will have strength from above to hold you steadfast, and thus, through constant surrender to God, you will be enabled to live the new life, even the life of faith.
Thank you. creator of the ends of the earth. Neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But those who wait on the Lord,
those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I am the host. Brothers and sisters, we have a special message tonight. We have a message, brothers and sisters, so deep tonight. And this message, I'm playing this message from State Line Carlton Knox. Brought this message at Pastor Olatunji State Line Church. So I will play this message after we pray. We're not going to be getting into a lot of prayer requests, but we're going to lift up everyone that we pray for on this prayer line in a few minutes. And then, but Sister Tamika will bring a song. And I know all the requests that my brothers and sisters have requested over the years. So I will be lifting them up to the Lord as we continue. But we will listen. We will begin to play a message. Put your phone on mute and just listen to this, because let me tell you something. What I heard is we want to say, Jesus, take our hand. Lead us and help us to keep you in our heart and in our mind. So we're going to begin right now just to open up the prayer line with a prayer. Father, which art in heaven, we come before you, Father, your people. Father, the only Father that we know is our Heavenly Father that has created and made this whole world. And he has created all the hostess in it. And he has prepared, his son to come to a dying world to save the whole world. But yet he saith, some gonna reject him. So Father, right now we pray, dear Father, for each and every one of us that are searching and that are struggling, Father. Help us, lead and guide us and keep us through thine holy word. And Father, we just thank you for all what you have did for us at Calvary. And through your son, you give us grace. And we thank you so much. In the name of our Savior, Yeshua Jesus Christ, we do pray. Thank you, brothers and sisters. That's just the opening prayer. So let us open the line for Sister Tamika. She's going to give us a song. And then we're going to have a word of prayer. And in the line that we can have not only one prayer, we can have maybe two prayers. Just to, and not long, but because we want to move forward with the message. Amen. So we just want to say good afternoon, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to Advent Life Ministry. And I thank you so much for choosing this line for coming to worship and fellowship with us. Amen. So Sister Tamiko, I'm going to open your line and you can give us a song. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. This is Sister Tamiko from Florida. I'm so grateful to be here this evening. God is so good and worthy to be praised. I just want to thank him and bless his great and holy name. Amen. Amen.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christians, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. God bless you. And my prayer request is to lift everybody up on the line this evening and to pray for all of the children and the youth and for all of our children as well. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen. I'm getting my prayer list. I have a prayer box that I'm getting this box that I can just give my request to God for everyone that we pray for, sisters and brothers. So I have my prayer box, and we have Brother Eli has pressed one, and we're just going to share with Brother Eli. Brother Eli, we are not actually, we're going to be lifting up everyone in prayer tonight, and we're not opening the line because we will be playing a message, and the message is a powerful message, brothers and sisters, that we will really want to hear. And so let us begin a word of prayer, because we got many that we need to lift up in prayer tonight. And we're going to begin these prayers, okay? Begin. And I'm asking that each and every one be in prayer with me while I lift these prayers up, sisters and brothers, because we are in a fight. The enemy wants to kill all of us. By God's grace, he don't want any of us to live. He wants to kill us. So we need to be praying, and need to be praying for our family. Our family is out there having Easter and all this. Don't you know there's somebody that will not make it tonight? We don't know who, but there's somebody won't be here tomorrow. They may not make it, but we won't hear about it until tomorrow. So, brothers and sisters, you know we need to pray. I don't know if I'm going to make it in the morning. We don't know who's going to be the next person. So we're going to pray tonight, because on this Sunday that Christ was resurrected or having a party, and it is sad to say, for his resurrection, they are having parties rather than praying for their children, rather than giving a prayer and asking God to save them. So let us begin. And I'm going to call out these names, okay? I'm calling all the names, my brothers and sisters. We have first, go with the names. Well, I remember Katie, Sister Katie, and her twin babies was the children that we was praying sincerely for, because back in the days when we wrote these notes, Sister Katie would request prayers for and she tell us their name, and I don't forgot their name already because I don't call it often enough. But we're going to lift the twins up in prayer. We're going to lift Sister Katie's son up in prayer, it's her daughter-in-law, and we're going to also lift up her son, okay, and Sister Katie, which is the mother. We lifting up, amen, hold on just a second. We're going to open her line, 804-238. Your line is open.
Yes. Good evening, Sister Viola. Yes, the twins' name is Shamar and Hakeem.
Okay, hold on. Let me write it down next to your name. Hold on, let me write this down. Okay, give us the names again, Sister Katie.
Shamar and Hakeem are the twins' names.
That's J-A-M-A-R?
Yeah, S-H-A-M-A-R, Shamar, O-R, and their oldest one is Hakeem, H-A-K-E-E-M. H-A-K-I-M, Hakeem.
Okay. And what's your son name?
Dominique.
Dominique. Okay. All right. So, brothers and sisters, we
and
are praying for.
And the mother.
And what's
name
the mother?
Autumn.
Autumn. Autumn. Like
A-U? Yes, like in the fall. Autumn. AUTUMN.
I got you. Got it. Okay. All right, brothers and sisters. We have Sister Katie and her family. Shamar. These are the twins. Shamar and Hakeem, Dominique and Autumn. Dominique and Autumn are the mother of the twins. And also we are praying for Brother Eli, his mother, and Brother Eli got a host of friends that he's been praying for. We also have Sister Tamiko and her family. Sister Tamiko, her sons, Teosha, we are praying for her son, Taiwan and Tony. And we also praying for her grandchildren. I don't know the grandchildren name. And we also lifting up her daughter, and her mother, Dorothy. We lifting up all of her family. We lifting up Sister Brenda and Sister Brenda's son, Craig and Juanica, and her grandchildren. And not to forget Brother John. We lifting up Sister Powell and her family, Sister Stephanie, Sister Sophia. We're lifting up so many brothers and sisters tonight. We're lifting up Brother O'Neill and his family, Brother Sister Carla and her daughter and her son, Nicholas, and I forget her daughter name. And we are lifting up my friend Linda. We're lifting up, I got a whole list here, brothers and sisters. We are calling these names that we are asking our Father, asking our Savior to go into prayer. We're going into prayers for these names. We're lifting up Cindy, Kate. I mean, some of these people, I don't know, they may be gone. I'm telling you, because some had passed. Okay, I don't know who passed. I know some, but I don't know who. We're lifting up, hold on, let me turn my list over. We're lifting up my family, my husband, Ray, myself, my daughter, Nicole, Jarvis, and my grandchildren, Shyla, Amari, and we also lifting up Jarvis. And we also lifting up in our prayer, we have Brother Rick and his family. We lifting up Brother Rick's daughter, Ashley. We lifting up his wife and all his other children. We lifting up Brother Yudi and his family. Amen. We lifting up Brother Bernard. We lifting up Sister Elizabeth, Sister Tamika used to say, Sister Elizabeth. We're lifting up, we have Sister Richardson and Brother Richardson. I'm trying to get these names here. Let me see a few more names. If I miss any names, forgive me. We're lifting up Nelda and her family. We have so many people been on this prayer line, Betty and her girls. We're lifting up, Brother Bernard. And if there's anybody that I forgot, my brothers and sisters, please forgive me, because I'm trying to call out names that has been on this prayer line. There have been so many names that we had on the prayer line to lift up And we're lifting up Sister Powell, Sister Powell's ministry in Jamaica. And we want to ask tonight, may God be with us as we go into these prayers, because none other than our Father, our Savior, go to his Father and also ask for prayers for us. Amen. And Sister Tamiko's mother, Dorothy, her twin son, her son, Taiwan, and Tony, Katie Ann, and, oh, Katie Ann is her daughter-in-law, and Keosha and her husband, Tony Sr., and Sister Eva, okay, Mary Ann and Sister Elizabeth and Daisy and family. Amen. So let us go into prayer. I hope I didn't forget anyone, but if by God's grace, if I forgot anyone, give me just a second. Oh, my, is my computer? Hold on, brothers and sisters. Is my computer dead? What is going on? Oh, no. My iPad is dead. Mercy. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you can hear me on the prayer line, but my computer went dead. Give me just a second while it come in, but I will start to pray in. Can Sister Tamiko or someone text me to let me know you can hear me, because my iPad is dead. Let me know if you can hear me. She said she can hear me. It's going to take a moment for my iPad to come up. So let us go into prayer as we mention all these names with the Lord. And brothers and sisters, again, tonight is going to be a little different. We are not opening up the line for testimonies and prayer requests. We're going to take all the prayer requests that had been said over all the times, and we're going to lift up all those prayer requests. We have a message tonight. Amen, amen. My sisters and brothers texting me, they can hear me. We lifting up every prayer request tonight, so let us go into prayer. Amen? We're going into prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you once again, Father, to thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, as we come to the throne of grace, Father, we come asking you for your blessing tonight, to be upon us, to fill us with your Holy Spirit, and give us understanding, Father, because no one knows who's going to make it throughout the night. Father, while people are having fun and enjoying Easter and not understanding what this Easter is all about, Father, we pray for every individual that used to come on this prayer line, Father, that they would know that we are praying for them and lifting them up. And we pray for all our sisters and brothers to be safe. We pray for them to understand that the time is at hand, and you want us to seek you with all our heart. Father, we ask you for forgiveness tonight. Forgive us for our slackness. Forgive us for being lazy, weak, whatever we have been doing and lacking in your word, Father. Forgive us for our sins. Help us, dear Father, to know that what you are doing for us, you are being patient, and you have been waiting for us, Father. So now, Father, as we come to the throne of grace, lifting up all those names that we call tonight, Father, we ask that you be with every one of our sisters and brothers. Lord, Father, whether they on this prayer line or not, we ask him, Father, for patience. We ask him for a peace of mind. We ask him for that you give us understanding of your word. We ask him for protection. We ask him for help and strength, Father, because we know that it's not but a short time. The enemy is trying to destroy, kill, and, Father, and to take us out. So now, Father, he don't want us to have that that peace with God. He don't want us to be in heaven with God. So now, Father, we just come asking you, Father, to deliver our children, to help our children. Father, when the book's going to be open in heaven, Father, and we don't see our loved one names in the book, Father, oh, Father, we're going to have tears. And the Bible says God is going to wipe away all tears from our eyes, and he's going to make us joyful because he knows what the issue is, Father. He knows. He's going to show us in the books whether Sister Leola had followed him, this word. He's going to show us whether anyone have done what he have said. So he's going to say, this is what is why Leola did not make it in the kingdom of heaven. This is why she is lost. This is why I said, I know you're not. So Heavenly Father, please have mercy on us sinners here, Lord. Help us to seek you. Help us to attain your righteousness. And we don't understand. Christ said the kingdom of heaven is in you. Brothers and sisters, I know you don't know what the kingdom of heaven is. The Bible tells us the kingdom of heaven is in us. And brothers and sisters, all the kingdom of heaven is the righteousness of Christ. As I was reading on in the book with Sister Stephanie yesterday, I read about Enoch. Enoch was righteous, and he was in the kingdom of God because God said he was, he walked with God and he talked with God so often. And brothers and sisters, we got to do the same. We got to walk with him. We got to ask him questions. We got to talk and ask the Lord, help me, Lord, where I'm weak, Lord, Father. Show me where I'm just not strong, but help me to get strong. Help me to trust you and lean on your understanding and not on my own. But help us, Father, that we can be that example for our children, Father. Our children need us, Lord. They need to see a good example, Father, to see us walk in the ways of the Lord. And, Lord, if the children don't have a good example, when what can they do other than do what they're doing? Lord, Father, we know if you don't train a dog, a stray dog, Father, he's going to stray away. So, Lord, just as the children, we have to train them. We have to teach them because if not, Father, they stray away. And God looks at the older people because the Bible says in his word that we, the older people, need to teach the younger people. And Heavenly Father, we come to you, Father, as older mothers and fathers. Help us to be strong, Lord, to teach these younger people. Help the young people to accept your word. And by God's grace, Lord, lead them, Father, to your open arms and help them to know that you are calling them. Father, say, I'm calling my children to repentance. Father, he want to give us life and more abundantly. Oh, Father, we are pleading tonight, Father. We asking that you keep your children and protect them tonight, Lord. You are such a long-suffering God. You are God that carried us through. You don't forsake us, but, Lord, you are waiting patient. Lord, you've been patient a long time. So now, Father, we ask that your grace and your mercy be long-suffering towards our young people as we are straightening up our life and praying and offering a sacrifice for our children, Father. Have mercy, Jesus, right now. Lord, they may be out there, Lord, Father, with a party. But, Father, allow your hand to cover them and protect them from all wicked and evil because the devil is roaring like a lion to who he may devour. Oh, Father, I'm asking you to have mercy upon our little babies. Loving Father, you said that You will never leave us nor forsake us. You said if we be willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. So, Heavenly Father, you know, Father, we are weak, but yet you are strong. And we call upon you tonight to plead with you, Father, to grant us grace. Be with us tonight and strengthen us, dear Lord, because we need you. It's nothing we can do without you, Father. I'm praying in the behalf of our sisters and brothers on this prayer line. And, Father, I'm asking that you be with each and every one, Lord, as they're traveling. Lord, Father, as my sisters and brothers' children are out there playing and the babies don't know what's going on, Lord, keep those babies, protect those babies, watch over them, Lord, while they sleep. I'm asking you to feed those babies, Father. Feed them, Lord. Feed them with your goodness and with your loving word. Oh, Father, we thank you tonight. I'm asking you to bless this prayer line. I'm asking you, Father, the message that we will hear tonight, Lord, how those legions of angels have order, and they have order, Lord, when your people are so dysfunctional. But these angels, as the devil has an army, and his army is in order. And, Father, we want to pray tonight that, Father, we get our house in order and that we follow the Lord wheresoever he tell us to go. So now, Father, as we lift up each and every sister and brother on here, Father, you know each and every one and what they have need of. Lord, Father, as we have called out so many names, Lord, if I start calling, I called them in the beginning. But, Lord, if I start calling one now, I'm going to miss some. I'm going to miss most. But, Heavenly Father, you heard all the names. We asking you, Lord, to send down your power to cover each and every one and give them understanding, give them wisdom. Give me wisdom. Give me knowledge, Lord. Give me that grace. Give me that protection, Father. Oh, Lord, we need you right now, and we are asking that you continue to be with us tonight. Asking, Father, that what you have done for your children and what you have done when you told your disciples that you will go away and you will prepare a place for them. And you said, if you didn't go, you won't be able to prepare. But you said, you want to receive us unto yourself. So, Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every one that's on this prayer line, and even my brothers and sisters, they're not. Lord, Father, I'm asking you to send the Holy Spirit out as our Savior is interceding for us in our behalf. Lord, I just lift it up to you. I'm asking that you carry us, Lord, in your arms. Lead us and teach us what you would have us to know. Oh, Father, I pray for this message tonight. Allow this message to minister to the heart of your children tonight. Allow them to know that when he teaches this message to help them to understand that God wants to lead us, and he don't want nothing else to be our head. He wants to be our head. But when we look at it, Satan wants to be the head. Brothers and sisters, I'm asking you to pay close attention to this message, because the enemy wants you, and God says he wants you. Don't you know, brothers and sisters, God and his angels are fighting for you, and Satan is fighting for you, sisters and brothers? Who are you going to choose? Oh, have mercy, Jesus. I'm asking you, Lord, right now to send your power down on this prayer line with my brothers and sisters, and may they hear and may they understand the word of God that he wants to help us right now as we surrender our will to him. Forgive us, Father, and strengthen us and help us. May we do everything according to your will. Bless us and keep us. And we pray over the message. Bless this message and let it meditate in our heart, even after we are done listening to it. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. Now, let me get back on the prayer line by God's grace. Amen. Just a second. I got to pull it back up. Hold on, brothers and sisters. Okay, here we go. Praise God. Praise God. Now I will begin playing this message for you guys. And just let me know if you can hear it. Let me turn it up.
The promised land.
Okay, I'm not going to start it there.
It's a place.
Hold on a second.
Help me there. Every tribulation.
Hold on, it's not the right one. Just give me just a second.
She's got a cute question and answer, right? As he goes through this particular series, right?
Okay.
And, hope you have a pen. We want everybody to be engaged. I mean, if you have a child and they can write, let them write it. And I think what we do, we underestimate of time we have most of the information on the screen. But again, I want to encourage you, when you have some quiet time, get your authorized version, highlight, underscore these texts for yourself. You owe it to yourself. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, a very, very sad verse.
Text me to let me know if you can hear the evangelist speaking, please.
A lack of knowledge. And friends, there's a famine in the land. And I say thank God for ministries like LLM's ministry and for this church. Do not take this platform for granted. Because this is rare. These churches are very, very, and they are a dying breed, right? But we are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And especially when it comes on to Satan's kingdom, there's almost a level of ignorance amongst God's people. That is why, friends, we have sought to compile probably one of the most extensive compilations ever done on spiritual warfare. It is what we call the Encyclopedia of Demons at 11. Everything you need to know about how demons operate and function from a biblical and a spiritual context and from our pioneers. Now, we do have limited copies of these books. We have some available. And so if you'd like to invest in your spirituality, you can definitely get one tomorrow afternoon. For those who are online, there should be a link where you can, if you'd like to get a copy.
I want to fast forward it.
You need to get it and give it to us, and we call it time. Now, the purpose of time is to bring us back to eternity. Time is the gate to eternity. Are you with me? Dr. King said, time pause for no man. It is adamant to every plea and rushes on. Now, what God has done, he has given us 6,000 years of time. And the purpose of time is not to make a living so much. It is to make a life. And friends, we are at the end of the 6,000 years. And Satan has an objective in this great controversy. And there are two things that in White says that he keeps his plot in the great controversy. One, it is not in your hand, but you can jot it down. It is to keep God's people in darkness. These are words. To keep us in darkness. Religious darkness. Gross darkness covers the earth. Isaiah proclaims, and the people. To keep us in darkness, and also, and that is an unrepentant state. Till the great controversy is ended. There's no longer a sacrifice for sin. This is the object in which Satan seeks to accomplish. Now, the great controversy, as we know it, has 5 rounds. We know it very, right. Round 1, where the war began in heaven. This is in your handout, right? You find it in Revelation 12, verse 7 through 9. Round 2 now is the struggle between the church and the serpent from the gates of Eden to Christ's first advent. Round three is the conflict between Christ and Satan until Calvary, Matthew chapter 4. And then now, round four is the persecution of the church during the apostolic age and the dark ages, right? And then we have the final round. Round five is the war against the remnant reaching to the second advent. And we know that when this unfolds, we know what will happen. Our liberty will be greatly restricted. As the song says, bad boy, what you going to do when they come for you? And they're coming. They are coming. It's not a matter of if, just a matter of when. But until this takes place, the attacks are on. This is Satan's last resort to flush out the people of God. Remember, he has two weapons. He has the tail, and he has the sword, live. And the tail always precedes the sword. Right? But until then, the devil is attacking us. The attacks are on until then. He is attacking us mentally. People are losing it. Some of us have lost our mind. We have gone stone crazy, and especially in the black world. We have lost our mind. We have lost our religion. We have lost our death. He's attacking us mentally. He's also attacking us emotionally. He's attacking us socially. He's attacking us financially. Once we just said, my money's looking real funny. And friends, he's attacking us spiritually. The attacks are on in the great controversy, night and day. Watch this. Question number two says now. Now, in this battle, great controversy, what can none plead? 2 Corinthians chapter 2:11, Paul says now, lest Satan should gain an advantage of us, for we are not underscore ignorant of his devices, or his mechanism, or his modalities. So we cannot plead ignorance. Friends, you may be ignorant in regards to politics, or who won the final four. You may be ignorant in regards to science, but you cannot plead ignorance in regards to the great controversy. We cannot, we must know the enemy, his attacks, and how to maneuver. In the book Great Controversy, there are some powerful quotes, and there's a line that I want you to focus on. One word. He warns us about being ignorant in this warfare. First one, she says in Great Controversy 5:17, she says, none are in greater danger from the influence of evil spirits than those who, notwithstanding the direct and ample testimony of scriptures, deny the existence and agency of the devil and his agents. So long as we are what? What's that word? Ignorant of their wiles, their secretions, their modalities. They have almost an inconceivable advantage over us. We cannot be ignorant. One more reference. This is Great Controversy, page 513. She says, now, if God has granted his children promises of grace and protection, it is because there are mighty agencies of evil to be met. Agencies, numerous, determined, and untiring, whose malignity and power underscore none can safely be ignorant. Over and over. See, one more reference she says now, Great Controversy 5:70, among professed Christians, and even among ministers of the gospel, there is heard scarcely a reference to Satan, except perhaps in incidental mention in the pulpit. They overlook the evidence and his continual activity and success. They neglect any warning of his subtlety. They seem to ignore his very existence. One more reference, Great Controversy. I'm giving you an overkill tonight because I'm setting the stage, right? The fourth reference, Great Controversy, page 508. Why is it that he, the devil, meets with no greater resistance? Because there is so great ignorance concerning his power and malice. One more reference, 508, she says now, multitudes are deluded. They do not know that there is a mighty general who controls the minds of evil angels, and that well-matured plans and skilled movement is warnings against Christ to prevent the salvation. Over and over, friends, there are abundant warnings. This is for prophecy about being ignorant about the devil and his kingdom. One more verse she says now, this is F. She says, The world tonight has no just key. He is not thought of as the prince of the world, a general of a vast rebellion, a being logical, philosophical, possessing a powerful intellect. But thus it is, the adversary of God and the leader in the great controversy waged war against the world's redeemer. His deceptive powers have been sharpened by constant practice. And in the final crisis, he says now, he will deceive to their own ruin those who do not seek to understand his methods of working. Friends, we cannot be ignorant in regards to demons and their activities. Now, I want to sound a biblical warning. This warning comes to us from Joshua 1, verse 7. Right? Joshua said this now. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the will of the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from thee to the right or to the left. What Joshua here is warning us against the extreme. If you can't go right and you shouldn't go left, your only option is in the center. And only those in the center will be saved, friends. Avoid all extremes, right? Now, here's a reference now. This is from volume 5. She says, now, there is in the human nature a tendency to run to extremes, from one extreme to another, to entirely opposite, and many are what? So there are fanaticism on the right, and there are fanaticism on the left. If your dress clogging on the floor, that's the right fanaticism. And if your dress is too short, that's the left fanaticism. Those camps are wrong. Avoid all fanaticism, she says, right? Then she says one more, now she says in volume 5, she says, we have found in our experience that if Satan can keep souls bound up in the ice of indifference, he will seek to push them in the fire of fanaticism. And the devil doesn't care how you go there. You can go there frozen in your religion, or go there burn up in a neo-Pentecostalism. Avoid all extremes. And this approach must be taken when we take the look at demons. Now watch this now, friends. Note, the church must never fall into the trap of an excessive and unhealthy interest in Satan and in demons. Follow me now. We must not automatically ascribe every possible human flaw, struggle, or misfortune to direct demonic intervention. To say that everyone is possessed and is in need of deliverance is in direct contradiction to the focus and teaching of Scripture. Right? That's one extreme. Power goes out, the demon has the power. No, that's it. The power, man. You can pay your bills. We have everything is a demon. But demons at the moment. You see, brothers and sisters, that's one extreme. The other extreme is this now. On the other hand, to minimize the fact that the devil and his demons are very deeply involved in every aspect of individual human life is equally dangerous. So one extreme is not to make too much of it. The other is to minimize it. But as a church, we have fallen in the latter. We are not making much of it, but we're not saying anything about it. And that is why we are losing it. So we have almost lost the great controversy. Because we don't talk. It's a taboo subject in the church. And today the buzzword is mental health. I believe that some folks have issues. But I believe that some that are diagnosed is straight out of demon. And we have jumped on this mental health bandwagon. And again, I'm not here knocking it. There are some folks who have issues. Serious issues. But we can't say all of it is mental health. Some is just straight demonic situation, right? So we want to avoid all extremes. Before I go any further, let me qualify, friends. I am not the demon slayer. And I mean that there's only one demon slayer out there, and that's Jesus. I don't have a PhD in demonology. I know how we do sermons like these, Dr. Keller, and man, you keep your cards half a knot, you know, something's in my house. Come over. No. Right where you are. That would be me, but I don't have a degree on demonism. There's only one demon spray out there. Now, God has given us power, amen? But we are to work with Christ. And we call our elders and we do what we can, amen? Now, lesson three now. Let's now, and we're laying a foundation tonight just on a biblical overview of demons, right? Lesson three now. Now, who are demons and where did they originate from? Now, there's so much confusion in the Christian world today. Some say that demons are the spirits of the dead. That's one view out there in Christendom, right? Others suggest that demons, they take Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, the sons of God, the daughters of man, and they say that demons are a byproduct of fallen angels having intercourse with humans, and that product are demons. That is incorrect. Who are demons? Jude 1 gives the answer. It's in the Bible. Jude tells us now, but the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of that great day. Based on this text, demons are nothing more than fallen angels. And they came from heaven, the third heaven. So this, that's who demons are. Not a byproduct of some sexual intercourse between, no, by no means. Demons are nothing more than fallen angels, full stop. They came from the third heaven, right? Now, we're told often, Greek controversy, Ephesians 5:11, there's a growing tendency to disbelieve the existence of evil spirits. They are regarded by many as spirits of the dead, but the scriptures not only teach the existence of angels, both good and evil, but present unquestionable proof that these are not disembodied spirits of the dead. Let's now take a biblical survey of demons. Question four now. Now, how do the scriptures refer to fallen angels? They have a litany of titles. Oh, I feel it now. The Bible calls them sometimes evil spirits. Evil spirits. You'll find that reference in 1 Samuel 9:9. They are referred to as evil spirits. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 19:9, but an evil spirit from the Lord comes unto Saul, and he was sitting in his house with his spear in his hand while David was playing the lyre. An evil spirit. They are referred to sometimes as an unclean spirit. They are very unclean morally, theologically, ethically, spiritually. And if they possess you, they make you unclean. They're unclean. You'll find that in Acts chapter 5, verse 16. Luke says this now. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about of Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. They also refer to as not just evil spirits, unclean, but they are sometimes called foul spirits. And they sometimes give off a foul odor. You'll find that in Mark chapter 9, verse 25. Mark says this, when Jesus saw the people running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb, deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter him no more. They are called evil spirits. They are called unclean spirits. They are called foul spirits, but they are also called seducing spirits. There is a seductiveness about them. They will seduce you from the truth into damned devil and devilish heresies. 1 Timothy 4:1, Bible says, now the spirit, uppercase S, that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh especially in the latter time that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, lowercase. Vast people who have left our ranks, they were victimized of seducing spirits. They're not just called evil spirits, unclean spirits, false prisoners. They're also called devils. Devils. James 2:19, James says this. Thou believest there is one God, but thou wilt well the devils also believe and tremble. Bible has a litany of names for them. Evil spirits, unclean spirits, foul spirits, seducing spirits, devils. They're also known as unclean devils. Unclean devils. Luke chapter 4:33. Luke says this. And in the synagogue, there was a man that had a spirit of an unclean devil. And so, friends, call them what you will. They are still the same fallen angels. Bible is very clear about their title. Then we find this reference in Greek controversy. She says, again, evil spirits, the beginning were created sinless, equal in nature and power and glory with holy beings that are now God's messengers. So she calls them evil spirits. Right now, we want to lay a foundation right now. Very, very important. Right? Question number 5. Now, the scriptures point out 7 specific things about demons. 7 things that you cannot be ignorant of. What are they? Number 1. Fill it in now. Their numbers. Friends, they are all over this planet like maggots. And we are no match for them. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, the Bible says, and his tail alive, to a third part of the stars of the heaven, and they cast them to the earth. One third of what? Of a large number. Thousands of thousands, and that's the highest numerical value. The calculator comes out. One third. And then Mark chapter 5, which is our thematic text, and he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion. That's my title, for we are men. That word legion is borrowed from a Roman battalion. We know that a legion had over 7,000 soldiers. And I said to myself, man, whoever this man was, right, he was an insignificant person. How could Satan spare over 7,000 demons with his one man? I wonder how much demons did Hitler have. And based on this mathematical equation, you'll find this commentary, most commentaries, that they believe that fallen angels, demons outnumber us 7 to 1. Be serious. That's why we desperately need help from the outside world. And thank God that help is given to us and our families. They outnumber 7 to 1, 6 to 1, and that's being conservative. Great controversy, she says in 5:14 now, she says it now in your handout, Satan posts our marshals into companies, and the single company to which these demons belong number no less than the legion. Bible speaks of their numbers. The second thing the Bible highlights is this. The Bible speaks of their confederacy. There is a cohesiveness amongst them. Their confederacy. Now look at these texts. You shouldn't run past texts. All these texts speak of one word, confederacy. Here are some texts. Now Luke 4:33. In the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Thou art come to destroy, not I, but us. You destroy one, you destroy all. Before we know who thou art, right? The confederacy. One more text, Mark chapter 5, verse 9. You say, Legion, for we, not I and I men. We are men, a confederacy. One more text, Revelation 16:3. I saw 3 unclean spirits. Confederacy. Right? Matthew 12:45. And again, friends, I want to encourage you to go home and underline these texts in your script. is a conspiracy among Stephen. And I wish to God that we had that confederacy, that cohesion there amongst us. We are so fractured when it comes to legal affairs. Every Jehovah's Witness believes the same thing. Every Rockefeller, whether you're 12 tribe Orthodox, believe the same thing. But you go to you have any church and you ask them one point of doctrine, and you get 100 different answers. And it's like, who is right? Right? See what she says now, Great Controversy, page 513. They are leagued together for the dishonor of God and the destruction of men. United with Satan in his rebellion and with him cast out of heaven, they have through succeeded agents cooperating with him in the war field. There is a conspiracy amongst the demons. They work together. Destroy us. I read someplace outside of that, they don't even like each other. But they put away their differences. Oh, two common goals, to dishonor God and to destroy his creation. So their numbers, your confederacy, third thing, Bible speaks of your fear of orders. Your orders. Where do you find that? Bible speaks of your various orders, your ranks. Look at the text. Revelation 12, verse 9, read the text. The text says that the great dragon was cast out, the devil and Satan, that deceived the whole world, and his angels were what? Now, John didn't tell us what kind of angel. He just says, angels. Now, Brother Lemon here is going to buy a car. He said, not, I'm going to buy a car. I would say, okay, good, what kind of car? That's the next question. You would say, I'm going to buy a Honda. I say, good cars. He's maintained. I'm going to ask him, what kind of Honda? He says, I'm buying a Accord. I say, what kind of Accord? You see, so when John says angel, you must ask the question, what kind of angel? That's generic. What kind? Now, Paul answered this question in Ephesians chapter 6. Look what he says now. For we wrestle, not against flesh and blood. Now, he doesn't say angel or demons. He says, but against principality. That word means princes. You see, against not just demons, but against powers, against rulers of darkness, wickedness in high places. What Paul does, he breaks down the rankage. Just think now. If you're going to take a seat, be honest. Who do you take out? Who do you buy out first? Garbage man? He's important, don't get me wrong. But who do you buy out first? The mayor? Chief of police? You get the higher ranking. So when the war broke out in heaven, he was severely attacked. Thought to get the higher ranking. Once he got them, they had influence over, you see, he was very strategic in his attack. Now, so, he took some princes. He took some powers. Now, did Jesus create principalities and powers? Yes, he did. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We know the text. And the text says now, for by him were all things created in heaven and earth. Where are these thrones? What is this throne? What is it? That means something. Dominions, principalities, or powers. These are all. We're hierarchy angels. So guess what? When the devil left heaven, took some principalities, and some remained. He took some powers, and some. That's why exalted. Now, he says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers. Bible speaks of their various orders, panties and powers and rulers. Antoine Levy was the founder of the Evangelical Church. Marilyn Manson, he took it over. And, you know, in his book, he lists something very, very important. And I believe that Antoine, but he should know, because he was ready for the devil, you understand. He lists the breakdown of Satan's kingdom. Very, 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 very insightful. You know, you could take for what it is. You know, saying, I can't give you no Bible, but it's very fascinating how he broke down Satan's kingdom, right? He says that Lucifer, the emperor, Beelzebub, the prince, as for the grand duke. Then you have superior spirits. He says you have a prime minister, you have a grand general, you have a general, and a lieutenant commander. And then he says now you have a major and a field marshal. That's why Ellen White calls him a great general. Military. You can't lose it. It's just kind of breakdown, right? And then he says now you have some subordinate spirits. But the point is, there is a ranking. It's not just everybody on the same page. By no means. By no means, friend. And we are oftentimes teaching of this. He calls him a mighty general, a logical being, philosophical. Are you with me? Right? So we look at their numbers, their confederacy, their various orders. Now, this blew my mind. The Bible speaks of their organization. Friends, if you think that demons are helter-skelter, then we are disorganized. And I've learned this. When I went to college, freshman, I played Division I, LLS. When I got there as an athlete, first thing they gave us was a plan. You know what's due. If you are not organized, it is highly probable you'll graduate. Have to get structured. And that's why right when our church got started, it was very, very imperative that we organize. Now, when Satan left heaven, he took two things. We only emphasize one. We know he took one third, right? The second thing he took the power of organization. Friends, his kingdom is highly organized. And that is why he seeks to disorganize us. You see, he knows he needs organization. And he has planted seeds in our minds that as we live in the time, we must act independent of all organization. Now, friends, I'll tell you something, friends. We teach you to evangelism. If I'm looking for a church, only one of four church I would consider joining. And the reason why, because in order to go to all the world, you have to be in all the world. You get that, right? One is the Catholic Church. Universal. Jehovah's Witness Church. Mormon Church. And the Adventist Church. In order to go to all the world, you have to be in all the world. That's why these offshoots, men, they don't send a ghost of a chance. They can't even reach their own city. I mean, you're way too late. We'll be another millennium. You have to be in all the world. You go in all the world. That is key. And that's why organization was important right after 1844. Right? No, it's not perfect. You know, well, it is perfect, it's run by imperfect people. It is a perfect entity, but it's run by imperfect people. Even when we get to heaven, we're going to organize. We're going to be kicking and screaming through the gate. No, no, no. There's going to be some single file line. I ain't going to jump it over the wall and do something. Give me the line. And when we meet in the new earth for the first Sabbath, there's going to be order. Order in some service. There's going to be order when we just discombobulate. That's what the text tells. And he asked him, what is thy name? He says, Legion. So that is a pregnant word. Loading. Note now. Satan has a highly organized kingdom. Demons are not disorganized and chaos beings. They are not. Legion, look up the etymology of the word, means regimented. Legion means organized. Legion means they march together. Legion means they are united. And that's why Jesus said it in Luke chapter 15. Man, in Luke chapter 11, he said in verse 17, for he knowing that their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to dissolution. And a house divided against itself falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom organized, very, very organized. Note that, therefore, from Genesis to Revelation, you will never see a demon fighting against another demon. You will never see a principality fighting another principality. You will never see powers fighting against powers. You will never see rulers fighting against. We do that. We do that. Now look at this statement now. So profound. From Counsel to Teachers Editor, she said, Satan knows well that success can only attend order and harmonious action. Knows this. He took a page from heaven, organization. He well knows that everything connected with heaven is in perfect order. And that subjection to perfect discipline marks the movements of the angel host. It is his studied effort to lead professed Christians just as far from his arrangement as he can. Therefore, he deceives even the professors of God. Right? And he makes them believe that order, or organization, and discipline is in the spirituality. And the only safe course is to act, is to remain separate from the body. Notice that. Highly organized. Demons don't get up and say, well, what are we going to do today? Oh, no. And I'm going to see if I can get Lemon to do something. Well, I'm a test for Brother Abraham. Friends, they have a memo on your life. They study your genogram. They know what made your grandfather tick. What made your father tick. And what makes you tick. Mm-hmm. And they keep the ramp going day and night, day and night. They don't break. There are no tunnels. They take no furlough when their break is coming in the millennium. The devil says that we ain't getting no furlough. They are constantly working, organized. That is why you see that they're almost winning the great conference. Organized. Now, watch it now. Why is organization so important to demons and Satan? Sit down. There are three attributes that the devil doesn't have, neither of us. We know that God is omniscient. That means God knows everything. We believe that, right? God is also omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. Now, God is also omnipresent. He can be everywhere. The devil is not omnipresent. Now, if you are not omnipresent, you have to have something set in place, which is order and organization. Even though I am not here, still hold the line. That's how he is so successful. He says this now, profound. Volume 1. Those who have the unction on high will, in all their efforts, encourage order, fear of action, and then the angels of God can cooperate with them. But never, never will these heavenly messengers place their endorsement on irregularity and disorganization. They don't sign off on any ministry that is promoting. And we have been so deceived, and we there's no text that says, by their fruits you shall know them. It's by their fruits you shall know them, not their fruits. And we are so enamored by them. And what's up to you anyway? Can't talk to you. It's a click. And we affirm ministry. What's up to you? Jake has a million views, and what? We are so enamored. Thank you for a lack of words. And we affirm ministry that are promoting damnable heresy. Because they get 10,000 views. That's so silly. Not by their views we shall know them. It's by their fruit. And their fruit is a rotten fruit. They are promoting disorganization. Guess what? I believe that the global. But I assess this thing, you may have a big demon in Canada. Organization, a high-ranking one in all these continents, and they lead out because he can't be there. So he has to have his thing. Hey, and friend, I'm telling you, if you don't know prophecy, you'll think that he's winning. But we know he's not. Because he does not have omnipresence. So he has to establish order. That's why Satan's plan to have your home disorganized. He wants the wife to usurp the husband and the children to usurp the parents. Order in your home. Order in the church. And we ain't going nowhere without order. I'm sorry. Write it down in your book. You need organization. So what's the answer for now? Because they are omnipresent. And it is needed to ensure success in the great controversy. Right? So thus far we've learned about your number, confederacy, your various orders, your organization. Now, the Bible speaks of their power and their strength. We are no match for them. No match for them. Your strength. Psalm 8, verse 5. David, we know the text. David says, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angel, and hast crowned him with glory and with honor. And why it says angels are in nature superior to man. And she quotes the text. So they are superior, so are fallen demons. But tonight it's good to know that the weakest thing on his or her knees is more match for all the legions of hell. But of our own strength, been there. I've been in cases where you're holding a hand and it tosses you like paper. Literally. I've been in situations where you try to, if your girl couldn't even lift a finger, but she had a sign all over the place. Thank you, God. Right? All over the place. Let me just get up. Now, here's a text now about his strength. Luke, Mark chapter 9, there's a boy who was possessed. Now, watch it now. One of the multitudes answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son with had done for it. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. He just tossed him to and fro. The Bible says now, and they brought unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit teareth him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed. The demon overpowered, because by nature, they are stronger than us. We are no match, but I don't care how much biceps you have, or how much squat you do. We cannot. And then she says in Job Ages, page 428, the boy was brought. And as the Savior's eyes fell upon him, the evil spirit cast him like a toilet tissue, a roll to the ground. We are no match for them. For their strength and their power. That's why we desperately need help. And tonight, help is available to us. And that help is in Jesus. Amen? Now, scriptures point out, your numbers, your confederacy, their various orders, their organization, their power, their intelligence. Listen, demons are highly intelligent. I mean, they're fallen angels. What they are. They have not lost their intelligence. And you're going to see a sign of intelligence. Is this. If I ask you what's your name, a sign of intelligence is, my name is Dwayne Levin. It's a sign of intelligence. Jesus asked him, what is thy name? And he didn't fumble and mumble. He said, Legion. For we are many. Sign of intelligence. One more text in Luke. I like this now. In Luke 4:31. And he came out of Capernaum, city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Bible says now, in the synagogue, there was a man in the church on Sabbath with an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying what? Let us alone. Friends, did you know today that that same demoniac cry that came out of that man in Capernaum still comes out of man today in our churches? Let us alone. Sometimes it comes from the rich. Sometimes it comes from the poor. Sometimes it comes from the high. And sometimes it comes from the low. When people are confronted with truth, they cry, let us alone. It's a universal cry. Look what he said now. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art. The Holy One. That's intelligence. Right? And then now, look what he said now. And I behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, Son of God? Art thou come to torment before our time? For our time, that's the millennium. We know when we will be tormented, millennial men, but they understand prophecy. Then he says now, and there was a good way off of them that had many swine, so the devil said, if thou will cast us out, suffer us to go into the herd. That's a sign of intelligence. The 10 best inventions of the world. We thank God for electricity. Is that right? Telephone and all these things that make life a little easier. Now, look at this context now. Remember, their intelligence now. She says now, Greek University 5:15 now. She says now, many give heed to their suggestions while supposing to themselves to be following the dictates of their own wisdom. So in a meeting, you want to bring this speaker in? Body say, no, don't bring him in. Demon told them, don't bring him in. And they thought it was their own. Many give heed to their suggestion while they think themselves following the dictates of their own conscience. So you wonder, how do certain things get passed within our church? It's like, really? How does that come across the board? Like, what are we guys thinking? Who suggested that? The demon did it. That's why Paul said, now watch it now, Romans 1:30. Paul lists a litany of things. Then he said, now, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of what? Inventors of evil things. Now, watch it now. We're told in child guidance, these invented fashions which leave the limb exposed. So when the guy sat down, he thought he was sketching this thing out. But he realized it was a demon that gave him that thought. Right? Now, any bypass that you can read other things, right? Anyway, he invented sports. Man that sat down, and he thought he got that. He there was a demon that gave him that idea. He said, not your way off. No, I'm not. This was an evil invention. And from that came the AR. When those things hit you, man, they sever body parts. The Gatling gun was an evil invention. I wonder who gave him that idea. And we revere him and we say, oh, man, he was a smart guy. Many give heed to their suggestions. He said, now, where were you going? Here it is now. In the book. Break out of verse now. The jig is up. The hellfire is about to rain down. And he now, he paints this now in that vast throng or multitude, the long-lived race that existed before the flood. Men have lost his statue and giant intellect who yielded the control of fallen angels, devoted all their skills and knowledge to the exaltation of themselves, men whose wonder works of art led the world to idolize their genius, but whose cruelty and evil, because they are smart, they put forth ideas. And people think, oh man, that originated mine. No. You have given heed to the suggestion of the devil. They are highly intelligent. I'm telling you that. And if you're ever in case, I've been in cases where you ask them, what is your assignment? And the demon of sex. What's his voice? He's very, very intelligent. I'm telling you. Highly intelligent. They're fallen angels, man. So, you've learned about their numbers, their confederacy, their various orders, their organization, their power and their intellect, strength, their intelligence. But then the Bible speaks of their assignment. Sebastian Michael was a friar in the 17th century. You can look him up. And over, he had a unique ministry, which was exorcism. And every time he would cast out a demon, he would forget the assignment. And, you know, he compiled a list. And I thought he was really losing his mind. I thought, okay, this guy's way off. I teach, they'll think I'm crazy ever. And so he gave a list of demons he encountered and their assignments, right? Now, he said, this one is the demon of mercilessness. Biggest book, right? This one is the demon of obscenity. Demon of riches and wealth. Demon of love. And he says, love is, this is lust. Right? He met this one. The demon of disobedience. Furry, right? Can I actually pronounce the name? The demon of pride. Every time he would cast, he would say, what's your name? What's your assignment? And then the demon would say, before. He says now there's one, by bias and the demon of tempting faith. Wants you to disbelieve. You ever hear folks say, I used to believe that? No, I did truth changes. What made this shift? What happened? Then we have the demon of luxury, wants you to hug everything. Right? The demon of blasphemy and murder. Demon of vanity and sloth. And the demon of impatience. Now, I saw that he has another list. The demon of purity, demon of hate, demon of arrogance, cruelty and greed. Now, I really thought was really senile. Until I read this. Volume 4. She says, through devotion, worldly interest, patient receives all the homage he asks. The door is open for him to enter as he pleases. With his evil train of impatience, love, self-pride, avarice, overreaching, and his whole catalog. Of what? Now, if I have a store, you say to me, not, send me a catalog. What are you asking for? Everything you have in catalog, or use an alphabetical eye. He says he has a catalog of evil spirits. So let's look at his catalog now. Let's look on the S. And why it says this, by Bible commentary, she says now, Christ knew when he permitted Judas to connect with him as one of the 12 that Judas was possessed with the demon of. There is a demon, and his sole purpose no more. Me, myself, and I. Selfishness is a demon, and his primary goal is to foster selfishness. Bible Echo, February 12th, she says, selfishness contracts heart. Turbulence expands it. Selfishness is a demon whose name is Legion. You wonder why we can't get enough, everything goes up, let it come down? Why are we so top-heavy financially? Everything goes up, and pennies come down. Demon is behind that. Us four, no more. Me, myself. Let's look under the catalog of pests again. I mean, it's home 106. If the law of God is forbidden, the demon of Christ will be kept out of the home and the family. No separation of interest will take place. No alienation or affection will be. Here is a demon, and his sole job is to cause Christ in the church. That's his job. Christ needs to split and more split. And you split till you split out. Even a Christ. That's his job, his assignment. We have to be on one accord. Yes? And if you have a problem, go to your brother. Matthew 18. And when you go to your brother, listen, man, you know what Jesus taught us. There are seven churches, they all had issues. What you do, first you affirm your brother. I know thy work, Ephesus. You affirm him. That love and that patience, that charity. Affirm your brother. The best of us have some evil. The worst of us have some good. Speak to the good in your brother. Affirm him first. I know you love the Lord, my brother. You're dedicated to this cause. Now you're going to correct him. Nevertheless, I got someone against you. Last time I was in church, or you spoke to me, was inappropriate. And if he's spiritual, as I think he is, nevertheless, man, I forgave you. You see? You exalt. You reprove, but don't leave him on the ground. That's the method we should follow as we go to deal with issues. Don't just kick down the door like Hawaii 5-1 and start capping the brother. Kneecap and leave him there the flat. That's not God's plan, right? Let's look on the I. Catalog. What can we find on the I? Star Guidance 401, she says, we must never forget that the arm of Christ can reach to the very depth of the human woe and degradation. He can give us help to conquer this terrible demon of intemperance. He's a demon. His job is just to foster intemperance. He don't want us to be temperate. That's his job. To overwork, overeat even the best of things. Overpreach. He's a molasses servant. And a servant doesn't have to be eternal to be mortal. Charles Spurgeon says, the brain cannot absorb what the backside cannot endure. World without end, man. Do a part two. Or a part three. I'm saying, weary to say the demon activity behind that one. Right? Let me hurry up and get you out of here, right? Right? On a G. His own checklist. We are right back to the priestly. You see that? On the G. What do you find on G? He says now in Education 92. Verses pleading, resisted, impulse of evil, finally bore sway. Judas, his ambitious dreams, surrendered his soul to the demon of greed. Is a demon, and his sole job is just to foster greediness. Some of us plan to go to hell rich. You didn't get that one. Right? On the P, his whole catalog. What can we find on the P? on the page some prophet. This is profound. After the death of Samuel, David was left in peace for a few months. Again, he repaired to a solitary place of effort. But these enemies, hoping to secure the favor of the king, informed him of David's hiding place. Saul, the passion aroused the demon of passion that had been slumbering in Saul's breast, woke up. The demon assigned to foster that kind of stuff. Under you, his whole catalog of evil spirits. Under you, she says this, some who profess to be servants of Christ have so long cherished the demon of unkindness. The demon of unkindness is a demon that is designed to foster, and some of us, we are so rude, impulsive, we are so unkind. Demon of unkindness. On the R, volume 4, 2 or 3, resentment which is indulged because you have think you have been misled is the spirit of statement. There it is. Over and over, we are right back to the priest list. Under J, she speaks of the demon of jealousy. Under J, a typo, she says, when David was returning from the battle with the Philistines, the woman came out of the city singing and dancing to meet the king Saul with tabrets and joy, with the instruments of music. One company sang, Saul has been his 10,000. Another, David 10,000. The demon of jealousy entered into the heart of the king. You know, we're here this weekend. We're not here to compete. We're here to complete each other. The demon of jealousy. We must need to learn how to celebrate people, man. I remember when I was playing, you know, ball for Division I FIU, playing against Penn State one Saturday. And I was, you know, playing left flank. There was a guy who was a forward. He took off and I caught him. And I posted up 11. Guy rocked. He rocked 2 times. He shook me. And after the game, I said, man, how did you do that? I know that. And he showed me. He didn't think less of himself. He showed me. I'm saying, you know, we can learn from each other. We should not be threatened by people's gifts. If a man can, let him sing. Let him preach, man. I don't steal nobody's thunder. You ain't got no thunder. Where you get it from? And especially in the black world, man, we don't celebrate gifts. We suffocate gifts. We strangle our own men. It's a demon of jealousy. My job is to make you a better version of yourself. That's how we're blessed. We shouldn't be intimidated. Of his friend, we're all different and different gifts. Demon of jealousy. Volume 9, as we wind down, she says now, this is profound now. Volume 9, 11 says, the condition of our world shows that terrible things are right upon us. Daily, the papers are full of indication of a terrible conflict in the near future. Men possessed of demons are taking the lives of men, women, and little children. Is it mental health? Men possessed of demons. We don't highlight that. Parkland, my neck of the woods in Florida, driven by demons. Florida school shooter Nicholas Cruz says demon voices told him to slaughter. And people said, no, I believe that demons told him to slaughter. There's no mental health here. Straight out of demons. And he said, 19-year-old accused of killing 17 people, injuring a dozen more. He said the voices were described as demons by the law enforcement. I really believe it, brothers and sisters. Accused I-96 shooter says demons haunted him. Accused Walmart gunman haunted by demonic voice for decades after taking, after his sister said. Demons, friend. Then she said, Ministry of Healing. Every day testifies of the increase of insanity, murder, and suicide. Number 2 cause of death in America among young people is suicide. Suicide. Let me say this, friends. I know it's a touchy topic. I know it is. But the average person who commits suicide is going to be lost. Let me qualify. Suicide can be a very insidious death. Slow. Man drinks poison. He's dying. And the Holy Ghost catches him. And he repents, oh God, I believe he's here. God will hear and answer. He dies a repentant sinner. The average person who takes their own life without repentance will be lost. It says, who can doubt that satanic agencies are at work? Suicide. Insanity. SUV carrying family appears to have been intentionally driven off the California cliff. Suicide. What would possess? I mean, it was so sad. Like, well, we know what we. And you know what they say? Mental health. And they just move on. And we have jumped on the mental health background. I'm not saying they're going to have. I know that some people in our church, they have issues. Yeah? But we can't just say everything is mental health. We are losing the great controversy. We don't talk about this kind of stuff. But we need to sound the alarm. But what would possess her? We know the demon of suicide. This one hits home. Leo's struggling. I sat in a lemon. We were in a certain country. We were in a millionaire's home having dinner. I overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. I sat at a table with this man, a good evangelist. And he was giving me pointers how to reach the other class. And I'm taking notes. And he says, "Not man, when I get back, I would love for you to come and work with me." I was so excited, man, because I'm learning. But when I got back, I heard the man killed himself. Just evangelist, what? Worldwide, powerful. I mean, even now it still has resonated. Where's the master? What would possess him? Demon of suicide. The same demon that took out Judas. Took out Pontius Pilate. The demon of suicide. Then we have the Columbine. She says, my son was hearing voices. Believe her. Demons are playing. Again, we find this in evangelism. So far, she says, thousands I have been shown have been spoiled through philosophy, phrenology, and animal magnet, which is hypnosis, and have been driven to infidelity. If the mind commences to run in this channel, it is almost sure to lose its balance and be controlled by a demon. And there are three signs that he takes great care in. Phrenology, psychology, and mesmerism, which is our Franz Mesmer, we get magnetism. Which is hypnosis. Friends, we cannot plead ignorance in the great controversy. We should not be obsessed with it, but we cannot dummy it down. In order for us to secure our families, Adventist families are being harassed by demons. Some of our children are possessed. I'm a short to tomorrow morning. We have given demons access in the home. Brought stuff in. You know, ADT, all of us have some secure system, that right? We have ADT and all these various, you know, security systems. We spend thousands of dollars annually. Cure our homes from burglars. We are diligent. It is installed properly. The code is set. Did you put the alarm on? Yes. Go check again. Yes. Yes. Get about the bed in the cold night to check. It's on green. I remember when I lived out in the boonies, man. I was in the church and I set to check the alarm. I drove back almost half an hour just to make sure. Glad to get off in the bed. Just to make sure we are so diligent and disciplined when it comes down to these things. Make sure our homes are secure. Rightly so. But what about our souls? That close, she says, the power and malice of Satan and his hosts might justly alarm us if it were not we find the shelter and deliverance in the superior power of our Redeemer. He said we cheerfully secure our houses with bolts and locks to protect our properties and our lives from evil men. But we seldomly think of the evil angels who are constantly seeking access. And we open the doors. I'll close it up with a tragic testimony. I was at Best Buy, and I knew better, man. It was a demon that deceived me. I'm going through the DVD aisle when they had DVDs, and I saw the movie, caught my attention, Gladiator by Russell Crowe. I took it up, Roman Coliseum at the back. I saw the big old R, rated R. And I said to myself, well, it's about prophecy and Rome. You know, you should justify yourself, Roman Empire, legs of iron, you know, maybe I can learn about prophecy. Deceive myself. Demon said, take it home. I took that DVD home and I left. And then you get the night, man. When my wife went to bed, I put it in. And I'm watching the movie. And all of a sudden, spiritual, isn't it? Because, you know, his wife died and she keeps on calling him. And he wants to go to the other side. And I said, why in the world did I bring it out? I cut the thing off and went to bed. As God is my witness, I wouldn't stand in a line on the Lord's Day. About 15 minutes into my sleep, something jumped on me. Call it palsy. We're going to talk about paralysis. All I know, I could not move. My mind was conscious, but my body was almost, I was paralyzed. My wife was beside me. I'm saying, and it was so frightening. I said, Lord, I'm just going to die. I gave up. And then I started to say, Jesus. And it jumped off me. I'm serious. And I live in a condominium paying security. Good money for security, I'm saying. I fell on my knees. And the Spirit said, you don't need to pray no kind of prayer right now. It's that DVD you brought in the house. Friends, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. I fell and I put my PJs off and I took the thing out of the DVD, broke it in 1,000 pieces, and took it down the garbage and threw it in the chute. And went back to bed. It never happened to me again. And the Lord allowed that. None of us are exempt. And friends, we cheerfully, diligently take our homes, but we allow any and everything access to our souls. Friends, we're going to have to close the door. Now, you're going to see as we go through.
Brothers and sisters, we're going to end it there because he's going to call for an appeal. And we're just going to close out with a prayer because we do know that those spirits, and we don't want them spirits to dwell in our homes. So let us have a word of prayer. I want to pray for my brothers and sisters. And I'm just asking that you all, well, I'm going to ask someone else to lift up a prayer. I'm going to ask Sister Carla to lift up a prayer for my brothers and sisters because we don't want these demonic spirits in our homes. So let me open the line. Let me ask Sister Carla if she can offer. I prayed earlier. Let me ask my sister if she can offer a prayer. Sister Carla, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sister Carla, we prayed earlier. We need a prayer because as he brought this so clear, and you have brought so many times the demon spirit, how it has taken over these children that you have helped and that's in the hospital, how they wanted to commit suicide. You can just share it yourself, but you have come in contact with so much of what
Mr. Knox is speaking. So your line is open. If you can just say that and offer a word of prayer, and we're going to close. Amen?
Yes. That is so true. Yes, these young adults, you know, teenagers, you know, in the mental hospital, and, you know, and one girl, I asked her, why was she there? She was like, she was hearing voices and stuff, and I told her, you know, that's demonic spirit. You know, even another little boy, like, he's 9 years old, voices is controlling him, and he's doing things that he didn't want to do. And I told him, when that voice come, you got to call on Jesus. And, you know, that little boy, after a couple of days, he wanted to read the Bible. I was telling him about heaven, and he wanted to know more about God. And I prayed for him, and I was teaching him how to pray. So these things are real. And even now I'm coming from work, and there are some children there. One wanted to hang himself, and, you know, I see him, and they're into these evil movies, demonic movies, listening to violence, music, and music about killing, and, you know, and these are Caucasian people, so it doesn't matter the race or whatever. It's what's going on within the home, within their life, and these demonic spirit is taking over their heart, and they want to harm themselves. There was a girl that was cutting herself, the same one that I had spoke to that came out of the mental hospital. So these things are real. So yes, let us pray. And, you know, it can be subtle. It could be, you know, that's why we have to check our homes. We have to talk to others and share with parents. You know, they're having issues at home and don't know why. And he's right. It's because of what they're bringing into the home. So let us pray.
Sister Carlia, I want to ask you to really pray for our children. I know everyone on here has young children. Pray for them, Sister Carla, that the Lord can help the parents, grandparents, to help them don't watch. Because, you know, the movies make children, the devil is speaking to them. Oh, go kill your parent. Go kill your grandmother. It puts that in the children's head. And the devil is putting that in the head to kill them while they sleep. So please lift up the grandparents, because they just don't know what the devil is telling these children while they sleep. So please pray for children. And you can just offer a prayer for us too, but mainly the youth. Amen.
Yes. Kind and loving Father, as we come to you, Lord, we come bowing our head on our knees, Lord. We just thanking you, Father, for opening our eyes, giving us eyes, Fav, about what is going on in this world. We know the Holy Spirit is being withdrawn from this earth, Lord. And you told us that these things will be happening, Lord. And now that we're seeing these things, Lord, we just want to, first of all, ask you to forgive us of our sins, anything that we have said, we have done, anything that we have brought into the home unknowingly, Lord. We ask that you will help us to remove those things, the parents, the grandparents, the guardians, Lord. Help us, Lord. Speak to our mind of things that we have done, the movies that we're watching or the music that's being listening to in our home, because we have to give account of these things and these children that's in our care, Lord, and that we're not training them aright, or we're ignorant to what's going on, Father. We ask that you will forgive us of our sins. Please, Lord, help the grandparents as they're watching their grandbabies to be careful even of the video games and the little Disney movie. There's so much evil, and there's so much gay, you know, and lesbians and transsexual things going on in the movie, Lord. It's turning the hearts of the children to the world and to lust and to pornography, whatever is taking their mind away from knowing the true and living God. Lord, in Isaiah 49:25, you said that you will content with those that content with our children, Lord, and that you will save them, but they have to want to be saved, Lord. And we ask that you will content with even those that don't know you, Lord. Content with them. Press upon their heart, Lord, that they need a Savior because they're not here on their own, Lord. You're keeping them, Lord. You're protecting them even while they're in this mess, Lord. Please forgive us, Lord. Touch each and every heart that we will share the message in words and prayer and tell others that they need to watch their children and watch what they bring into the home, that no demonic spirit will come over them and their children and be in their home to control their hearts, Lord. We belong to you, Lord, and we just want to glorify and magnify and ask you, Lord, to take a hold of our hearts, Lord. We cannot give it. Take control of our minds, our thoughts, oh, Lord. It is yours, and we give it back to you, Lord. We ask for blessings, Lord. We ask, oh, Lord, for wisdom and understanding as we go into the highways and the byways and even go to the store, that we're careful that who we come in contact with, Lord, and that we will be prayed up wherever we go so that no demonic spirit will come upon us or control us of what we're eating, what we're wearing, even what we're seeing, Lord. The demonic spirit can, if we have an open door, they can take possession of our heart, Lord. So we ask that you will help us. You will redeem the time that the lost time that the locusts have taken from us, oh Lord, so that we, Lord, can truly say we are your children and you are our God, and we have waited for you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for Brother Knox, oh Lord, and his message, oh Lord. We ask that you will continue to protect him and provide for him and each and everyone that's here, Sister Leal and her family and everyone that is listening, Lord. Please have mercy upon us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen. And anyone, if you would like to go back and listen to this message, is State Line, Pastor Olatunji, State Line, and Evangeline Horton Knox, and it's called Legion, and you can go back and listen to it if you like. Amen. God bless my brothers and sisters and keep you until we meet again. Amen. And I'm just going to play this song, Every Hour I Need Thee. God bless. Thank you, Sister Carla, for praying. God bless.
Amen. Amen.
Bye.